I'm Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A winter storm warning remains in effect for a large part of New England, where a late winter storm is dumping heavy wet snow across several states. Some areas could get a few feet. Reporter Brad Rogers of CBS affiliate WGME-TV is in southern Maine.
Lineman Ron Francoeur says nearly every outage is the result of a tree limb snapping off and falling onto a power line.
Tree was weighted down by the snow, the wind, you know, eventually broke its last straw there.
As the snow piles up, people using snow blowers and plow trucks are out in full force here in York County. Driving conditions are manageable right now, but there have been several slide-offs into ditches.
Hundreds of thousands of Californians have lost power after another powerful atmospheric river drenched the state. KPIX-TV reporter Devin Fahili is in Monterey County, where crews are hauling truckloads of rocks to try to plug a broken levee.
4 days after the initial levee breach and resulting flooding, and the community of Pajaro remains a muddy mess. It is a community that is divided between people who have decided to hunker down and those who have opted to leave.
It's almost 6 feet deep to come all the way to here.
Rigoberto Estrada says the rising floodwater seeped into his basement, leaving it sodden and muddy, but thankfully never reached the first floor where he lives.
The state of Ohio is suing a railroad after a train derailment last month.
Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost announced the lawsuit.
This derailment was entirely avoidable. I'm concerned that Norfolk and Southern may be putting profits for their own company above the health and safety of the cities and communities that they operate in.
He says its aim is to ensure the company pays for the cleanup and damage caused by the February 3rd derailment. The attorney general says the extent of the damage is still not fully known. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Facebook parent Meta is laying off another 10,000 employees and will not fill 5,000 open positions. The company's been affected by a slowdown in advertising and competition from TikTok. The Summer Olympics return to Europe next year. Paris will be the host city, says CBS's Tina Kraus.
In an unusual move, the opening ceremony will be held outdoors with up to 600,000 spectators crowding bridges and riverbanks to watch about 10,000 athletes sail past famous landmarks on a nearly 4-mile river route.
The U.S. military says a Russian warplane hit the propeller of an American drone over the Black Sea Tuesday. American forces had to bring the unmanned aircraft down in international waters. The U.S. European Command says two fighter jets conducted an unsafe and unprofessional intercept.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it.
but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
You need some whoop 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 boing, you know?
Absolutely.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. I think I got it like 6 days in a row now.
Oh, you are in a roll, girlfriend.
Can't break me now. We are going to have fun this hour. This is the hour where we have...
Whoop, whoop, boing.
Yeah, whoop, 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 boing. We're going to talk about Pi Day later on. I got some trivia. We got a fun song. But right now, I am so excited. I feel like this is a while in the making from the first time she and I connected to now we're finally getting her on the show. But in 2021, Cassandra Berger, a.k.a. Quick Trip Girl, visited every Quick Trip gas station across the entire state of Wisconsin, all 457 of them. And I can't believe you never got sick of Quick Trip. But welcome to the show.
Thank you. That was quite the intro.
Well, you know, I try to hype people up. This would be your hype girl. So you, for anyone who doesn't know the backstory of how you ended up being the Quick Trip girl, because it's not only just unofficial, like you've worked with Quick Trip since right. doing all this, but how did this all start?
Let's see. How do I even begin? Because it started, honestly, just as an obsession. Like, just I was just a big fangirl, like a freak of obsessed with Quick Trip.
Like, all things about, always. Like, their... You grew up in Wisconsin, yes. Just always going to Quick Trip.
And so, grew up in Iowa. So, okay. Quick Star, which they're the same thing. It's the same thing, just different name, but same products and everything. So, yes, just it was always, like, the local place to go. Like, if you needed something, like, just quick and easy, your gas, your food, yep. Like that's where you went. And so from when I was younger all the way through college and obviously till now, like that's kind of my go-to spot. And so I've always been passionate about Quick Trip, but then I've also been passionate about videography and just doing my own fun videos. But then when I was in college, I started to notice that like all of my videos that I was making started to revolve around Quick Trip. And I wasn't even trying to do that. It was just that, okay, it was one day during COVID, I was like running down to Quick Trip in my like boots and I was going to get eggs and like there was an egg shortage. Like it was just always surrounding things about Quick Trip. And then Quick Trip started to notice and they were like, oh my God, we love this. And so then I presented the idea to Quick Trip of like, hey, what about this like KT girl persona who travels across all the, you know, Quick Trips in Wisconsin and we make this whole thing, you know, cause I was like, I have to like get in with them because they're like this huge part of Midwest culture.
Yes.
Like, I was like, this has to be a thing. And so, and then they like bought into the idea and they loved it. And so then, I mean, I don't, so it really did happen like organically. Like it wasn't like they were like trying to find some like KT girl,
some ambassador,
like advertising. Yeah. Right. No, it was kind of like I was just being that annoying person who was just like constantly sending them ideas or emails or like LinkedIn messages like, hey, what about this idea?
That's so funny. And so I guess because it's funny to try to explain the obsession of Wisconsinites, and I guess maybe Midwesterners, because it is in more places than just Wisconsin, but certainly Wisconsin. Like, yes. As someone who likes to make Wisconsin jokes, like the low hanging fruit of jokes when it comes to Wisconsin's obsession with Quick Trip is always there, and it always resonates, right? Whether it's the same whether it's Charlie Behrens or Alex Worley, like Quick Trip is a reliable source of material. And so, but what is it like? Because I've never really been able to describe. I'm trying to see the realm of like jokes I've made, but like it's certainly the clean bathrooms and that you hold, like you're willing to hold it to get to the next Quick Trip because you know the bathroom 100%. Will be clean when you're on a road
trip. Like you will drive out of your way. Yes. Like you'll drive the extra 10 minutes, even if there's the other gas stations that are like right there. Like you'll go the extra mile.
Totally. And like my husband obsessed with the chicken sandwiches, like cannot go to a Quick Trip without getting a chicken sandwich. So I guess for you, like, if you had to actually describe it, what is at the core of your, like, this is just my go-to place for everything?
Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like that's a complicated question because it has changed.
Oh.
Because initially, if you would have asked me like right away during my whole thing, it would have been like, oh, their pizza. I love their pothole pizza. Oh, I love their hot spot. You know, I love the just all their donuts, you know. But then as I kind of have gone through this journey and like met more of like their coworkers and met like the former president of Quick Trip and worked a lot with him and then their social media team, like after kind of working or like being more integrated with their team, it really is like just their like leadership within their team and like how well they treat their employees. Like that's what keeps me passionate about like working with them and working like on different projects with them. And I feel like deep down, that's why they are so successful. Like, yes, they have good products. They have a good hotspot. They have good, you know, food and options and they have everything that you could possibly need to live. But like, I think it's deeper than that, but I didn't know that initially. Like for me, it was initially that experience, but then now it's like, oh gosh, like, they actually have really good leadership and management and just, I don't know. It's pretty incredible. Cause when, I mean, I went to all, you know, 457 at the time. And I asked like all the coworkers, like, hey, do you like working here? Like, and not even on video, like it was very like raw, like conversations. And I like, not once did I get like I hate it here. Like this sucks. Or I hate like, and I don't know. Like you, I would have thought I would have got one negative comment, but no, they didn't know who I was.
You know, it kind of reminds me. It's kind of like, girl. Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of like when you walk into a Trader Joe's and like everyone's just super happy. That's how I feel about the Quick Trip employees, where everyone's just super friendly and helpful. We're talking to Cassandra Berger, who is the Quick Trip girl who visited all 457 Wisconsin Quick Trips, and this was back in 2021. And so with that. How much variety is there between Quick Trips, or how much is it pretty much, if you've gone to one, you've gone to all of them?
Is it like McDonald's where the menu is always the same?
I would say the items are fairly standard. But what is the most different between each of them is like how they are like set up. Like they have like different generation stores is what they call them. So like there's the first generation stores. Those are like the much older stores that were like, you know, the very first ones built. And then there's like the third generation stores, which are the newer ones, huge layouts, like really big floor plans. Like you can very clearly tell that, oh gosh, that was probably built 2 days ago. Right. So I think that's more the difference, like with my experience of going to all of them.
So the
products are very similar.
So like similar to how McDonald's in Wisconsin Dells was just named like most beautiful one of like the most 20 beautiful McDonald's in the world by like Architectural Digest or whatever, is there one that stood out as like the most beautiful?
Oh my gosh, that is such a tough question because Oh, I don't know. Like, the one that always comes to mind when people ask me, like, what is my favorite one? It's always the one that is in Amroh, Wisconsin. And it was, let's see, it's the newer one there. And I was able to meet Don Zitlow there and, like, walk around the store with him and, like, do a video with him there. And so, like, that one, I mean, it's a, yes, it's a brand new store and it's, like, beautiful. But I feel like it's more of, like, that experience that I kind of associate mm-hmm. with it. So, it's beautiful in that way, but I don't know. There are a lot there. I don't know. That's a really hard question though. Well, and as just, far as looks, I don't know.
Yeah. Just think about all the places you've been around the state. There are so many beautiful areas of Wisconsin. It's got to be really,
yes.
right. Really hard to narrow it down. And the, you know, the quick trip right. in La Crosse must be magnificent. And the quick trip in yeah. Superior would be magnificent. And
for sure. Eagle River had some really cool one, like up in, yeah, when I went to like Spooner and like, I remember being like, I would have never been to this town if I wouldn't have done this journey.
So I guess then, so this, that was all in 2021. And then am yeah. I right that, that I read that you took a little bit of a break in 2022, as far as you're probably still yeah. going,
break,
but you're, you weren't
from like traveling.
Yes.
yes. Break from traveling, but I still did a few different projects with Quick Trip.
And then, so then what, do you have some more stuff coming up or is there stuff that you want mm-hmm. people to go check out?
Yes. So this year, like coming up soon, I'm going to, oh, I'm so excited about this. Ooh, I get so excited. I like geek out about this stuff. And it hasn't even started yet. But so they want me to do like almost like a facilities tour of their like campus. And they, so that's like their oh. whole like headquarters. So I'll be going, doing like a ride along tour in their like truck driving center or like going to their bread and bun facility and seeing how things are made. And I'm like, this is like my dream. Like, I feel like I've been like manifesting this since I was like 12 and I'm like that. So now that it's finally happening, I'm just like, my, like, I feel like I've hit my peak. Like what else could possibly happen? Like, my life is, I'm going downhill after this year.
We have Steven from Green Bay on the line. Steven, what do you want to say?
Hello. It's not every day you get to talk to the Quick Trip girl. This is like a dream come true for someone who lives in the Midwest. I actually have a couple things to say. First thing is I actually went to South Carolina on a road trip, and there was no Quick Trips in South Carolina, and I did not know how to live because that's where I go on a day-to-day basis, is Quick Trip, and I couldn't do that down there. And secondly, do you have any tips on actually getting hired with your company? I've tried 3 different times and wow. haven't got anywhere. So if you can give me some tips on that, you know, you might have a new employee.
Find me on Instagram, send me a direct message, and then I'll connect with you. And then we'll connect you with the right people.
Why don't you put it off your Instagram handle, and I'll put it in today's show notes as well.
Oh yeah, that'll be helpful. I think, oh my God, I should probably know this off the top of my head, but I have like 2 of them. So there's like Cassandra J Burger, or you could do Quick Trip Girl, which
oh, you have both.
Probably should go to the Quick Trip Girl one.
So are you an employee now, or are you a contractor, or how does your relationship with Quick Trip work?
Yeah, I'm like an independent contractor, okay. So I go based on like projects.
Because then your other day job, are you still coaching? Is it you're coaching yes, at lacrosse, right?
Yes. Yep. So I coach women's lacrosse at UW Lacrosse.
Does that very get confusing? Cool. You teach lacrosse at
oh,
lacrosse.
Yeah. Whenever I explain, like the follow up question is always like, "Oh, but what do you coach?" And I'm like. So I coach women's lacrosse, like with the stick and the basket and the, you know, and then I have to like describe it. But yeah, so I do that full time. That's like my full time passion. And then I get to do this fun video work on the side.
Well, you get a pretty fun life, Cassandra, between getting to go to Quick Trip, coaching lacrosse. Thank you. This is so fun to have you here today. We'll link all of your videos and everything to our show notes. I can't wait to see what else you come up with. Maybe we'll get you in the Southeast region for a Quick Trip visit.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
You don't
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 18 overnight, under mainly clear skies, southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 46. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 39. About an inch of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
100 digits of pi. 3.14159, this is pi, followed by 2653589, circumference over diameter 79, then 323. OMG, can't you see? 8462643, and now we're on a spree. 38 and 32, now we're blue. Oh, who knew?
You're not going to play the whole song, Jane?
Probably not.
That is the pi song.
Yeah.
How to memorize the first 100 digits of pi. It's so catchy, but I don't think it would actually help me memorize the first 100 digits of pi.
I would have to listen to it about 100 times. And so then once you do memorize it, do you just stand up in a bar randomly and go, hey, I can do the first 100 numbers
probably.
In pi.
It's probably a pretty good party trick.
Yeah.
Maybe at like a math conference.
Ooh, chess tournament or
there's
something.
Different. But also you need someone there who's double checking you, right?
Sure. Because otherwise, yeah, you could just
be making things up. Like, I feel like I could confidently be at a party and just be like, I know the first 100 digits of pi and just start rattling
just
things off. And
off.
Like the chances someone who would be there and would know, like, that's wrong. You're full of it.
Someone would be there to bust you.
But yes, it is March 14th, 314, which means it is Pi Day. And it's Pi Day celebrated around the world. And it is the symbol used in mathematics to represent a constant. So the ratio of the circumference of a circle to its diameter, which is approximately 3.14159, and then it keeps going on infinitely.
Yes.
And so it's a day for math enthusiasts to recite the infinite digits of pi, talk to their friends about math, eat pie. That's the part I feel like I can get down with.
Amen.
Is the eating of pie.
Oh, yeah.
But pi has been calculated to over 50 trillion digits beyond its decimal point.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not a math person, and I feel like that's like 50 trillion. That's a lot.
That's really impressive. Again, for what purpose? Just to say we figured it out this far?
Yeah. And so it's like, it's a fun challenge to memorize it, I guess, is part of it. But there was an event outside of Tokyo in 2006, so this is a while ago, and Akira Haraguchi set an unofficial world record for reciting the most digits of pi. Do you want to guess how many it was?
Sure. 10,000.
100,000.
What?
Over more than 16 hours.
What?
And I don't know if he was, I don't think he was memorizing them. I think he was just reciting them. But I guess in his mind, he linked each digit with a syllable. Oh, maybe he did memorize it. But
he
it
must
says,
have, because anybody can recite
anything. Yeah, but in his mind, he linked each digit with a syllable and created a collection of epic stories from the words those syllables formed.
That must have taken forever.
And this also says for Haraguchi, pie is more than just a number. It's a spiritual calling.
Okay.
He told The Guardian, all things in this world, including ourselves, are aggregate sums of atoms, which are made up of rotating electrons. The ultimate, oh my God, this is so nerdy.
Talk slower. I'm trying to follow along.
All things in this world,
yeah,
including ourselves, are aggregate sums of atoms, which are made up of rotating electrons.
Okay.
The ultimate history of mankind is moving toward a happy ending for people of all races. The Earth, the galaxy, and the universe all rotate. In other words, I think rotation is the absolute truth. So as long as I'm thinking about pi, I think I can live a life according to truth.
Wow.
I think he took some ayahuasca.
He must be so much fun at parties.
He seems very zen.
Very, yes, deep. Too deep for me.
So there you go. I don't have a spiritual connection to pie. I would like to eat some pie. What's your favorite kind of pie?
I love cherry pie.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, Washington Post for today put out some sweet and savory pie recipes.
Okay.
And some of them sound pretty good. Peanut butter brownie pie.
Like that.
With a pretzel crust.
Ooh.
Roasted tomato pie with cheddar parmesan crust. Savory.
Okay.
Banana split sundae pie.
I don't banana.
You do not banana.
I do not banana.
Chicken pot pie.
Yes. Love it.
Okay.
Love it. Love it. We grew up on those.
Zesty apple pie.
What makes it zesty?
I think there's salt on top.
There's
ground ginger. That's what it is.
Oh.
What makes it apple pie zesty? When there's ground pepper, ground ginger, black pepper, and a good glug of bourbon. I would eat that.
See, now I think you're ruining a perfectly good apple pie.
Spanakopita pie?
Greek?
Yes.
Okay.
Brown butter pecan pie?
That sounds yummy.
Yeah, it looks yummy. Vegetable pot pie?
If I have to.
Sweet potato pie with macaroon crust?
I've never had a sweet potato pie, so I should not be so judgy.
I mean, if you can do pumpkin pie, I feel like sweet potato pie is
pretty,
the same.
Pretty similar.
I mean, I guess one's a gourd and one's a potato, but as far as taking a vegetable and making it into a pie, like rhubarb was super tart when you don't add a ton of sugar to it.
Yeah, and that's why it has like 2 cups of sugar. Yeah.
Curried chicken pie. That sounds good.
That does sound good if you like Indian food.
Chocolate cream pie. Pretty standard.
Can't go wrong with that.
Cornish pastries. Is that a pie? I feel like it's a pastry.
That's a savory.
All right. Well, those are the, if you like any of the sound of any of those, Washington Post has published that today. So you can go check out the recipes for that. We don't have time for pie trivia.
Oh, rats.
Which is fine. It's mostly all. We'll do one. Okay. Name a dessert that is named after a city and is not a pie, but a cake.
Oh, man. A city that is named a cake, but not a pie.
Well, just think of the first thing. What is a pie that's named after a city?
Boston.
Boston cream pie.
Yeah.
Which I guess is technically a cake.
It is not a cake. Then why are they calling it Boston cream pie?
I don't know. What's the difference between a cake and a pie?
Because no one wants to eat cake.
I feel like the difference between a cake and a pie is one has a crust. Right?
Well, certainly.
A cake doesn't have a crust.
Yeah, and a cake doesn't have a lot of fillings either.
All right, when we come back, Ted Lasso is back tomorrow, and I cannot wait. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's on the 4th and 9th for 459.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief New England is feeling the brunt of a late winter storm. This woman is in Andover, Massachusetts.
It's like shoveling wet cement. It's really heavy, really heavy. Backbreaking. But this March in New England for you, right?
California has been getting drenched with rain. This man in Redwood City watched his neighbor's eucalyptus tree fall over.
There it goes. There it goes. Oh, my God. Oh.
The EPA is proposing the first ever federal limits on so-called forever chemicals in drinking water. Melanie Benesch with the Environmental Working Group.
The EPA set the drinking water limit, what's called a maximum contaminant level, or MCL, at 4 parts per trillion, which is essentially the detection limit, meaning if you can find it, it's too much.
The chemicals at issue are linked to such health problems as low birth weight and even cancer. CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of the 50% off on our Civic Media premium weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And I had this marked to talk about tomorrow.
Right.
But a reminder that when you tune in tomorrow, it's going to sound different because it's Dan Schaefer and not me.
Dan Schaefer will be here. He is wonderful. Calvin will be taking over the board, and I know they're going to have a great, great show.
And so we were headed to Madison. We were having a professional development day to learn more about how we can be better on the radio, which I'm excited about because I'm kind of a perfectionist, but as far as I like to be coached into being, always doing better. And so I'm excited for that. But yes, so it will be a live show, but it will not be Jane and I.
Right.
So I was going to talk about this tomorrow, but since by the time we're back live, the show will have already premiered, we have to talk about it today. Ted Lasso premieres tomorrow.
Yay.
And I'm so excited that it's back. And I know you love this show as much as I love this show, because the show just feels like a warm hug.
Yes.
And it's, can you think of another show that has balanced being that warm without being cheesy?
That's a very good question, because I can think of all kinds of shows with lots of heart. The Golden Girls.
Yeah.
You know, there are...
Friday Night Lights had lots of heart.
Lots of heart.
Yes.
Maybe that's the closest.
But not, were any of them as funny?
Or as
Golden Girls was funny.
Or as profane.
Yeah. It's just, it's such a remarkable mix of the story, the heart, the humor, that... It, and it's just like everyone who's watched it, I think, like, I don't know anyone who's watched it who's been like, it's not for me. I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't talked to any.
Hey, if you don't, we'd love to hear from you if you've watched it and you didn't like it, at 844-967-2789. I just think the cast, every cast member is so perfect.
Yes.
And all of their interactions. And the other thing that, because I was just watching reruns, because I do this when I feel bad, and I go and I watch reruns of Ted Lasso because it always makes me feel better. There are so many different English accents. It's really fascinating if you pay attention.
Oh, well, you would know that because you're married to an Englishman. And yes. What? Where's his accent from?
He is from Walsall.
Walsall?
Walsall.
Walsall like a...
It's W-A-L-S-A-L-L. Walsall.
Wasn't that like a 1800s like alcoholic
You're
drink?
Thinking of Wassail.
Or, I like that you knew what I was talking about.
Or here we go, a wassailing. Right?
Here we go, a wassailing. Yeah. Yep, those are my Christmas Carol days. Yeah. That's where I know that from.
But
Charles Dickens.
I think his accent is considered to be from the Black Country.
Okay.
Part of that particular part of England. But I can attest to this. And I loved my mother-in-law, Christine, who unfortunately is no longer with us. But we would talk on the phone once a month.
Okay.
And she liked to talk to me.
More than him?
More than him. I was her favorite. And I couldn't, I missed every third word.
So was it almost like Scottish?
It was so deep in her throat, and she never moved her teeth. So, and then she'd start laughing. And I would have no idea what she was talking about.
Oh, my God. When you were in person?
In person, it was a little bit easier because I could watch her mouth.
Okay.
But again, she had a very tight jaw, so even that was tough. But on the phone, it was nearly impossible. Anyway, the accents on Ted Lasso are just a fascinating side thing for me, trying to figure out where they're all supposed to be from, because we don't know if these are their genuine accents or not.
And... that's actually an interesting question that's going to, because I do have a question for the audience. The question for the audience is, because Ted Lasso, this is written to be its last season.
No.
So it was written to only have three seasons.
No.
And so this is likely going to be the end. And I feel like in America and our television, we don't usually do that. We usually really... drag out a show and squeeze out as many seasons as possible until they inevitably totally fail on the series finale because it should have ended a long time ago. And
hello, Happy Days, Jumping the Shark.
Yes. So, I mean, Grey's Anatomy is still on. Ellen Pompeo finally, after like 17 years, has finally left that show, but the show still going. And this feels like a show that... a lot of people would like to have more seasons of.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently there will not be. So what other shows ended too soon, in your opinion? Like, what shows, not even, you could say prematurely, or what shows left you wanting more? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But I was going to get back to the accents. Do you think there is a wider variety of English accents than there is American accents?
Yes.
Really? Even though we are so much bigger?
Yeah, I do. And they can be concentrated in a very small town as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I would say even being, I made this joke once. I think it was for like the DNC, the televised DNC, since it wasn't in Milwaukee. Both Governor Tony Evers spoke and Governor Gretchen Whitmer spoke. And you could tell, like, they both had Midwest accents, but they were different. And they both have strong accents, but there was just subtle differences. Because to me, Minnesota and Wisconsin are different. Even within Wisconsin, I feel like central Wisconsin versus southeast Wisconsin, different.
You could say that about Milwaukee and South Milwaukee, or Milwaukee and Cudahy.
Yeah, and so that's why I challenge that there's not as many varieties of accents as there are in England.
We'll just have to visit everywhere.
We'll just have to visit everywhere. Everywhere is on the bucket list now.
Something else. We did get a text from the 608 talking about, what other show do you watch that makes you laugh, makes you feel good, is a big warm hug? 608 says, only Murders in the Building works on that level for us. Heart, serious, and it's funny, and that makes you feel good.
I think I said this last week. I binge watched that. And now I can't wait for the third season, which Meryl Streep's going to be in the third season. So I'm so... Have you watched it?
I watched the first two and I didn't love it.
What was it for you that you were like, eh?
I didn't think it was that funny.
I thought, okay.
And I felt it was slow.
Interesting.
And I love Steve Martin.
I mean, I think they're all so good on that show. That's it. I agree with the texter, though, as far as I found that show to have suspense and like the whodunit, but they all care about each other and there's character arc as far as how they're growing and getting over their own stuff.
I'll have to go back and give it another shot.
You should. You should stick it out for the first season.
Okay.
I think there's only like 10 episodes. But also, like, so what are some, as going back, so what shows left you wanting, what's like series ended with you wanting more? I know Succession is now, that's coming back for its fourth and final season, which I feel like is probably enough with Succession.
They're all such terrible people.
Oh, they're terrible people. It's like the opposite spectrum. Like, it's unbelievable TV. It's written so well, and the acting is so good, and you love to hate everybody. But you're also, like, even though they're all terrible, their acting is so good that you understand them all to be human, mm-hmm. and their, like, their failings and flaws and their motivations. And so I feel like, because my mom said the same thing. She's like, I don't know why your dad likes this show. Like, I just want to kill all
Slap
of them.
Them
like,
all.
They're all awful.
Yes.
But that one, I feel like there's only, how many seasons can we have of these siblings fighting over who's going to take over the company? Like, I feel like there's only so many different variations of that we can go with.
Yeah, but look at soap operas. I realize it's a different genre, but come on, Succession. Throw some amnesia in there just to really shake things up.
A random twin sister.
Split personality.
But, so that's coming to an end. I think some people really like that show, so they could argue that it's ending too soon.
Now, this is before your time. This was in the 90s, but I loved Northern Exposure.
I never watched that, yeah.
Yeah, which was a show that really gave John Corbett, who became Aiden on Sex and the City, that was his big breakthrough show.
Okay.
And it was unique and quirky and odd and also had a real big heart. And I think they could have stretched that out another season. I missed Northern Exposure.
Did you ever watch Freaks and Geeks?
I was too old.
Okay, that was one that had so much critical acclaim, and I didn't watch it when it first was on. I watched it later in life, and I was like, I got it. Like, once I watched it later, I was like, oh, I can see why this was so good, but only had one season.
It was, and that was Sarah Jessica Parker, wasn't it?
No, Freaks and Geeks was Judd Apatow. Like, Judd Apatow is one of his first shows.
Oh.
And Linda Cardinelli, Linda Cardinelli, or Carlini. James Franco, Seth Rogen.
Oh my.
Like, it was that crew of Judd Apatow. Jason Segel was in it.
Oh my.
And so then But then he had another one, Judd Apatow's next, I think it was Undeclared. I think that was the name of it, which was another show, and it was about freshmen in college that I did watch that show, also only one season, and it was so good. Another one, only three seasons, that I think year after year, the people who actually watched it loved it, but it just never had the ratings, Arrested Development.
I was never a fan of that.
Really?
I don't like Larry David.
That's not, Arrested Development isn't Larry David.
What am I
thinking? That's Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's what I'm thinking of. Oh, Arrested Development.
That's Jason Bateman.
That I need to go back. Because that I'm sure I would love.
It was, the humor was so smart. It was, that show was so good. It's funny because someone's made the comparison of Succession to Arrested Development. In the same way, like, the West Wing to Veep, where, like, it's kind of like the same family dynamics, except one is a comedy and one is very high stakes. But that was a show that only got three seasons. But I guess it's also what shows ending on their own volition versus not having the ratings. Because Ted Lasso, I think, if Jason Sudeikis and team wanted to keep doing seasons, I'm sure Apple would be, please,
happy,
thank you.
Yeah. And it is really nice to see if this is going out in their own terms, because people don't always get to do that. So it's really nice that they get to make that choice.
Well, and Netflix is like the king of that, right? Where they just randomly cancel shows and there's no real insight into, because they don't have ratings in the same way. Like, they decide when they tell the world how many people streamed XYZ show.
Right.
But what was the name? There was a name of a show. Like, it was about detectives or like FBI agents who were investigating serial killers.
Not Killing Eve.
No, it was not. And it's not Criminal Minds, because that was a CBS show.
True Detective.
No, that was HBO. That's a good show. Jonathan Groff is in it, but it was a show that it had two seasons. And then randomly was just canceled with no explanation from Netflix, and was just like, didn't have an ending because they just ended it as if they were going to have another season.
Oh, and so there was no conclusion.
So there was no conclusion. So that's super satisfying. But yeah, if you have thoughts, what show, what series ended with leaving you wanting more, whether it was because they got canceled or because they just pulled the plug when they were still in their prime. 844-967-2789. Text us, call us, and we'll come back and end the show. This is As Goes Wisconsin. It's so clear, accepting the notion's depths were out of reach for me and you. If you're coming up for air, breathing in, you know I'll be there when you first begin.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snowblowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 18 overnight under mainly clear skies, southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 46. Cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 39. About an inch of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we were talking about, well, we started with Ted Lasso, which premieres tomorrow.
Last season. I'm so sad.
It's written to be the last season. I feel like that wording, that's Jason Sudeikis' wording.
Yeah.
So I feel like that also leaves open the possibility. I feel like it could be a movie.
That's a good idea.
You know what I mean? Where yeah. It's like they did that with Breaking Bad, where the series ended, and then a couple years later, they made a movie and stuff. So it feels like it could open itself up to be
a film.
Something that people would obviously line up to go see.
Either way, I just think every member of that cast is so amazing, and I'm going to stalk Hannah Waddingham and Brett Goldstein and Juno Temple and Jeremy Swift and all of them. They're just fantastic.
If Hannah ever is in a traveling production of anything.
Oh, can the woman sing?
Oh, can she sing? And to go see her on stage somewhere, I would pay money. I'd pay lots of monies to
definitely
go see her live. Because, gosh, she can really sing.
Yeah.
But we were asking, in your opinion, what series ended leaving you wanting more?
Got a couple texts from the 920, Firefly and Eureka, back when I was watching more TV, and I had to look up Firefly. An American space western drama created by Joss Whedon, set in the year 2517 after the arrival of humans in a new star system, and follows the adventures of renegade crew Serenity, a Firefly-class spaceship.
Is there anyone that we would know? Is there any household names that was in it?
Nathan Phelan, Gina Torres, Adam Baldwin, Jewel Slate. So, not necessarily, but Joss Whedon certainly was the guy behind Buffy, right?
I don't know.
From the 920, Sports Night with Peter Krause and Felicity Huffman, Robert Guillaume. The series ended way, way, way too soon, only two seasons. It was just getting its legs under it, wanted more, very smart and very, very funny.
That's a good point as far as, because sometimes with sitcoms, it needs a season or two to figure out what it is. Because, like, The Office, if you watch the first season of The Office, Michael Scott is not likable.
Was he just all over, the series was all over the place?
No, it's not, you know, because I think The Office, similar to Ted Lasso, there was heart there. And especially with the storyline of Pam and,
right.
Pam and Jim. And they care, how the staff cared about each other, even if they didn't always like each other. But in the first season, Michael Scott is insufferable. And then I feel like they made some small tweaks. So by season two, the way Steve Carell was playing that character, he's still awkward, but you felt a little bad for him. Versus if you think about The Office, the British version, and it's Ricky Gervais.
Which is like entirely different. There's a meanness to Ricky.
Yes. And I think that it wasn't working as much for Steve Carell's Michael Scott to be mean. It worked better for him kind of to just be awkward.
Mm-hmm. And clueless.
And then similarly, I remember watching the first season of Parks and Rec And I was like, oh, this is just The Office, where Leslie Knope was like more insufferable and awkward as the main character. And then they made slight adjustments to her character, I think, by season two, and kind of figured out the show and made some changes that she was so endearing. She was still awkward, but in such a more, much more endearing.
Right.
Just because she was just so genuine. And so sometimes with those sitcoms, like you don't nail it in some seasons, like Abbott Elementary, we just started watching. So good.
Yeah.
In the first season.
Yeah.
But some shows need a little bit of space to figure it out. And if you cancel them too soon, they never get to figure it out.
We've been taking your texts at 844-967-2789. Which series ended, at least in your opinion, far too soon? 414 checking in says Mindhunter is the Netflix show that Kristen was trying to think
Thank
of.
Thank you.
Texter says, it was good to nap to.
How are you napping through serial killers? Like the mental mind mapping of serial killers. You're like, oh, it makes me want to take a nap. Because they were basically going through, I think it was the 70s, and the epidemic of serial murderers that there were during that time. And I think a lot of the ones that they were profiling in the show, obviously it was fictionalized, were real
based on
murders.
Real cases.
Yeah. And so I think that's why some people really liked the show, because it was, you know, it's kind of like in the true crime genre of the new division at the FBI at the time, who were using psychological profiling to try to figure out some of these cases. Although they do have Jonathan Groff playing a straight man in that show, and that's not that believable.
It's good stretch as an actor.
Yes. I love him. I think he is very talented. He is very gay. But anyways, and so there is also, is there any shows that are coming back or starting soon that you're looking forward to, Jane?
Ted Lasso is certainly the biggest one. The other one I thought of that I wish had maybe done one more season, and I don't know if you ever watched any of 6 Feet Under. That was an HBO show.
Yeah, I certainly remember it. That's one I could go back and probably watch, because I think I was a little too young to get it.
Well, yeah, and I have a special affinity for it because it's about a mortician.
Fair.
So, that too was a, it was funny. It was pretty dark, though. Certainly not warm and fuzzy like you get from Ted Lasso, but it was
HBO shows usually aren't.
Right? Make you feel good all over. Game of Thrones, not so much.
Did you watch? You didn't get into Game of Thrones.
I did watch. I tried the sequel and I found it boring because there was no Tyrion.
Oh, yeah. He was.
Peter Dinklage is a brilliant actor and just brought some levity to a really, really dark series.
That's fair.
In the original Game of Thrones.
That's fair.
And so I feel, I just always felt like the second season or the second iteration of that show had no character like that.
Mandalorian, any interest? Any of the Star Wars shows?
I would watch Mandalorian if I subscribed. I am just juggling so many subscriptions to stuff right now. It's ridiculous.
If you want to think dark, one show that's coming back that I'm really excited for is Yellowjackets.
I've read about
Showtime.
That. But that's like you said, that's dark, right?
Like, we're talking about, like, cannibalism dark.
Oh, my.
But it's really good. It's really, really good. So I wish I had more time to watch more TV, because there's a lot of TV shows that are coming back. So at least I'll be stocked up to go back through the summer when they all end after 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But yes. All right. Well, that will do it for us today. Like I said, tune in tomorrow to hear Dan Schaefer. We will be back on Thursday. We're going to be doing our show from Madison.
Should be fun.
On Thursday. But for now, stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. But for now, thanks for texting. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results. But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.